In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have ever been in a boat in the midst of a storm, you probably have a very deep respect for the power of nature. I know when I found myself in that situation, I was quick to hit my knees and implore a higher power for a safe return. On a hot and steamy Sunday afternoon, our family had spent a quiet weekend in a cove on the Chesapeake Bay, and it was time to return home and go back to the other side. And we got about halfway, and the clouds started to gather, and the winds started to pick up. And we nervously strapped our children in, preparing for a bumpy ride. What we hadn't planned for was such torrential rain and such high waves that we had to actually blindly drive from the helm below while we tossed like a toy in a tub. With thunder and lightning all around us and waves crashing, the boat was making very little progress, and so we zigged and zagged our way across the bay. And it took us about 3 hours. It was probably the longest 3 hours of my life. Remembering the story of Jesus and how he calmed the storm by just merely putting his hand up and saying, "Peace, be still," I think I probably invoked the name of Jesus a few times that day. I wanted there to be peace, to be stillness. But that was not to be on that afternoon. And in retrospect, I realized we were in way over our heads. But there was no turning back. In our gospel story today, we hear this familiar passage when Jesus demonstrated his authority over the elements and the tumultuous waters. And it harkens back to some of those other divine stories where there's dominion over chaos, such as the creation narrative or the parting of the Red Seas. Witnesses to this event must have realized that they were in the presence of something or someone much more than just an edgy teacher. The voyage across the Sea of Galilee recounts God's faithfulness to God's people, but also tells us the story of the journey of these men going from fishermen to disciples. More transformative than Jesus's power over the elements was the relationship that was forming with the living God. This was the first of many storms these disciples would encounter as they began to follow a new way, the kingdom of God. So at the end of a long day, Jesus had been preaching and teaching and healing, and he was pretty exhausted. And he invited his friends to get in the boat with him to go to the other side. Now, some say that this was for a period of respite and rest for a time apart. But going across the other side of the Sea of Galilee from where they were actually was taking them from familiar territory in Capernaum to the land of the Gentiles, to the land of the Gerasenes. Jesus had much more in mind than respite. And there would be no rest for those disciples beginning to spread the gospel to other nations other than the Jewish peoples. But on the way, Jesus goes to sleep. They say he put his head on the pillow, only to be roused by panicked shipmates saying, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" Now, these seasoned mariners, it's hard to believe that they would be so panicked given their experience on the water, tells you the magnitude of the storm. Jesus gave them a technicolor display of what it was like to be in God's presence. Even the wind and the waves obeyed him. This generated a lot more questions than reassurance. They shifted from this paralyzing anxiety to a holy awe, recognizing that the power of God was now with them. Jesus calmed the seas that day, but the hearts of his followers were not exactly peaceful as they began to recognize what the path of the disciples would be. Now, as individuals and as a community of faith, we've gotten into the boat of this discipleship journey. And I'm taking a wild guess that there's probably been some wind and waves in the journey. I imagine that some in this period of transition have felt like fragile vessels being tossed to and fro. You may have even wondered if God is asleep. Fear has a way of gripping us, of taking hold of us, and we forget that there is a power much greater than our own steering this vessel. If only we could command our hearts to be peaceful and to be still, we might recognize the great and small ways in which Jesus is in the boat with us. But fear is a reasonable response to a sometimes frightening world. How many of us have called out in the midst of trouble, "God, do you care that I'm drowning?" It's hard to hold on to faith when we feel like we're over our heads. And it may only be in retrospect that we're able to see the hand of God in our situation. If we only search for God to calm the waves, we may miss the small gestures of love that are meant to reassure us and guide us to walk through the trouble. We move from fishermen to disciples as we learn to trust in God's provision and remember that God will strengthen us. Now, stories of hatred and violence, such as the tragic shootings this week in Charleston, they shake us to the core. And they also remind us of how essential this kingdom work is in the world. We must cross divides. We must be the voice of love amidst differences. We must be the ones that calm the fears and prejudices of others. Jesus calls us as disciples to do this work. The tragedy in Charleston invites us to a renewed faith in this vision and God's charge to step into differences, to be agents of change and reconciliation, even though it might put you in the midst of a storm. Because we can remember that Jesus empowers us to do this work and is right there in the boat with us. The same kingdom of God that indwells Jesus indwells us in the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have only to awaken that gift in ourselves to continue God's work in the world. Theologian Frederick Buechner makes this observation about humanity. We have within us, each one of us, so much more power than we ever spend. Such misers of miracles are we, such pinch-penny guardians of grace. My friends, I know that you're waiting for the waters to settle. It's been pretty choppy over the last couple years. And I'm here to tell you that this disciple journey will always have storms. But we can take heart that Jesus is in the boat with us and strengthens and guards us. And if we hold on to that relationship, fear will not have dominion over us. One of the beautiful things about being a community of faith is that when one person is struggling and is so suffering and angry and can't even pray anymore, we stand in that gap of faith for each other. We come alongside each other to support one another, reminding each other of God's faithfulness and God's steadfast love towards us. We build the kingdom of God one relationship at a time. Let us consider how God is calling each of us to make bridges in our divisions, to cross to the other side. How can we be the voice of calm amidst fear and anxiety? God does not promise that it's always going to be familiar territory, and we will certainly encounter storms. But God will give us what we need, not only to survive, but to flourish. Will you join in the journey? I leave you today with another quote from Frederick Buechner. Christ sleeps in the deepest selves of all of us. And whatever we do, in whatever time we have left, wherever we go, may we, in whatever way we can, call on him, as the fishermen did in their boat, to come awake within us and give us courage, to give us hope, to show us, each one of us, the way. May God be with us, especially when the winds go mad and the waves run wild, as they will for all of us before we're done, so that even in their midst, we may find peace, we may find Christ. Amen.